So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribes. Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F35A. Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview. On August 16th, Governor Tony Evers issued an executive order that says, quote, it shall be the goal of ensuring that all electricity consumed in Wisconsin is 100% carbon-free by 2050. A big part of that goal is a Public Service Commission, so it's time to interview the chair of the Public Service Commission, Rebecca Cameron Vock. Thank you very much. Your first appearance on Wisconsin Eye. Thanks for coming in.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Well, since it's your first time on Wisconsin Eye, give us the short version of your bio. Why did you want this job?
Oh, my gosh, because I think electricity and energy is absolutely fascinating. So when I got the call that this was a potential for me, there was no pause when I said yes and gladly accepted it. I've been in the energy industry my entire career. Mm-hmm. I started out as a regulatory lawyer for Wisconsin Electric Power Company. I've learned how to climb utility poles. I've worked in a power plant. I've listened to customer service calls and complaints. So I've worked in every sort of facet of the industry, and I find it absolutely fascinating. We are at such an incredibly interesting time right now in the industry, and I honestly feel fortunate that I get to do this job each and every day.
You're in the middle of the whole climate change debate and our 2050 goal. Mm-hmm. But first of all, okay, let's talk about where we are now. Mm-hmm. What percentage of Wisconsin energy is now from renewable sources?
So in 2018, we were just above 10%.
10%. Is that a statutory goal?
It is.
Set when?
It was set back in 2005. So the first year that electric providers had to hit a percentage was in 2006. Mm-hmm. And that statute required all providers. Again, it was also a goal. It's the Renewable Portfolio Standard, and it required that all electric providers provide at least 10% of the electricity from renewable energy sources by the year 2015. We beat that goal by 2 years. So we hit the 10% in 2013, and since 2013, we've hovered anywhere between 10 and 13%.
Are we getting better at renewable sources, or treading water?
Well, I think we're treading water, and for a couple of reasons. So first of all, carbon-free is different than renewable portfolio standard.
Thank you for making that distinction.
Yes, and it's a really important distinction. Nuclear power is carbon-free. They are working on renewable natural gas technology mm-hmm. that will eventually get to a point where it does not emit carbon. That's different from renewable energy sources. Renewable energy sources are wind, solar,
yes.
biodigestion, hydro. Those are finite, right? So we only have so much land, and we can't get to zero carbon by just installing rooftop solar. That's not going to get us there. We need utility scale projects. And I think we need everything. I don't think we're at a point right now where we can say, no, nuclear can't be a part of it, or no, renewable natural gas can't be a part of it. I don't think we have that luxury. I really don't.
Well, I'm showing my ignorance here. If we're 10% renewable now, mm-hmm. what makes up the other 90%, Chair?
Coal, gas,
coal,
nuclear.
Are there percentages that we should attach to
that? I believe coal in 2018, and this is subject to check, I believe coal is still about 50% in Wisconsin.
Okay.
Nuclear is about 15, 1.5.
Yep.
And then the rest would be natural gas and some hydro, because the law was a little bit quirky, and it excluded some hydro facilities from being able to be counted as renewable.
Is this a healthy mix, 10% renewable, 50% coal, nuclear 15? What are your thoughts on our current source of energy in Wisconsin?
I think if you look at the economics, I think you're going to see that percentage start to go down, because it's now more expensive to run a coal plant than it is to build a solar facility, a utility-scale solar facility. So I think you're going to continue to see that coal percentage come down. It's important, though, when we talk about the transition to zero carbon, that we remember those big coal plants and those big natural gas plants.
Right. I was going to ask you about natural gas. Excuse me.
Yes. So they play an important role. Those are considered baseload generating plants. And that's because they're just kind of steady. They're the workhorses of a fleet. Sources like wind and solar, those are intermittent. So when the wind blows and when the sun shines, they're producing. When those things aren't happening, they're not producing the electricity. So a couple of things. We need to continue to have a diverse mix of production, just like we need to have a diverse mix when we're planning for retirement. Mm-hmm. You'd never have 100% in stocks. You just wouldn't. It's the same with generation. How is the electricity being produced? It's got to come from a variety of sources. And we're just not there yet in terms of the technology. Battery storage, for instance, we're not there, but we need the ability to harness the excess generation when the sun is shining and save that to use during the nighttime hours.
I want to ask you about a line in the governor's proclamation that I don't understand because okay. This is not my area. Wisconsin sends more than $12 billion out of the state each year to import fossil fuels, including coal, natural gas, and petroleum. Mm-hmm. Is that money that we're spending to buy and import these other sources of energy?
Yes. So, for instance,
$12 billion is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money, and it's money that we shouldn't be exporting, right?
Right.
So that's why we need things like transmission lines, because that's the way that we can import low-cost, zero-carbon energy from where it's plentiful to here, rather than the utilities entering into contracts with coal mines. So first they have to procure the coal, then they have to enter into an agreement to ship the coal on the rail. That's an additional cost. That's part of that $12 billion.
Oh, you watched our energy policy from the private sector for a number of years until you became PSC chair. Mm-hmm. Did we miss an opportunity by not ramping up our renewable standards since 2005?
You know, I don't know the answer to that. I think what happened was the RPS served as a nudge in the beginning, and then the market took over. And so I think we are at a point right now where we're seeing the market work in terms of economics. And I think that that's what we should be striving for. I think that's an example of good government, right? We shouldn't be over-regulating, but sometimes we need that nudge to get the market going the way that it should be going. Did we miss the mark? I don't know. Maybe we did. Maybe we should have been more aggressive, and that would have sort of prodded the markets to sort of get us to where we need to be in terms of technology.
The governor in February put carbon free by 2050 in his proposed state budget. Mm-hmm. It was dropped by the GOP legislative leaders. Mm-hmm. Was that a big missed opportunity, Chair Vock?
I think so. I think it's important, and I think that we are now one of a minority number of states that don't have it in statute. We're seeing our neighbors enact legislation all around us. And it was important. It was important to the governor's team, and that's why we had it in the budget. So the executive order was sort of the next best thing.
Were you given a chance to testify before joint finance on the carbon free by 2050 goal?
I was not.
You were not?
I was not.
Okay. Tell me how we are doing vis-a-vis some of our neighboring states. Mm-hmm. Have Iowa, Michigan, Illinois, have they adopted carbon-free by 2050?
I believe Minnesota has. I believe Michigan has. I don't think Iowa has. And Illinois passed the future FEJA, the Future Energy Jobs Act, which wrapped in some technological requirements along with diversity requirements, along with a carbon goal, but I don't think it's carbon-free by 2050.
Do you envy the progress made in some of these our neighboring states on solar and wind? Are they doing better than we are?
I wouldn't say that. I think we're right in the mix. I wouldn't say that they are outpacing us. Iowa got to wind first, and that's largely a feature of their geography. Right. And the Dakotas, too. I mean, predominantly flat, really good wind sources. You know, when I was at Wisconsin Electric, the first power purchase agreement I ever worked on was to purchase energy from a wind farm in Iowa. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that was back in the early 2000s before anybody was thinking about renewable energy. So they've gotten faster they've gotten ahead of us in terms of penetration, but I think it's largely a feature of geography.
What's your elevator speech in terms of when you talk to groups about why we need to be carbon free by 2050?
Oh my gosh, because the planet is dying.
That gets into the climate change. Right, how severe a threat is that?
It's real. I mean, every article that I've read has indicated that it's real. But it can't just be about how we produce our energy, right? It's so much more than that. It's transportation sector. Mm-hmm. So last year marked the first year ever in the history of this country where the transportation sector was responsible for more emissions than the production of electricity. So it's got to be an all-hands-on-deck approach. We've got to be looking in every single sector because our planet can't sustain it. It simply can't. So we've got to get there. And it can't just... I've also learned that it's not just about cutting the emissions, mm-hmm. right? We've got to start sequestering the emissions that are already in the atmosphere. And there's work being done on that. But I want to make sure for my kids and their kids that I'm trying to do what I can while I'm in this position to save the planet.
A naive question. What can one state do when it's a global issue?
I think what we're doing. I think getting to carbon free by 2050, I think that's important. It's kind of like voting, right? I mean, if one person says, well, my vote doesn't count, so I'm not going to go out, and then you multiply that mm-hmm. by 50 times, no, absolutely one state can make a difference. And I think we're seeing when you have major companies like Budweiser running a Super Bowl ad, spending however much money it is now to purchase a Super Bowl ad, and the primary purpose of that ad was to demonstrate that they purchase 100% of their energy from renewable sources, it matters. It matters to consumers.
What I find intriguing, the Obama administration set a mileage goal per vehicle of mm-hmm. 54. Mm-hmm. The Trump administration is rolling that back. But California is cutting deals with major car producers to not get to 54, but to mm-hmm. find a number that the Trump administration finds unacceptable. Mm-hmm. Are you sitting there going, go California, go, sign deals with more?
Right. Well, I have to
vehicle.
Yes, I think that's a laudable goal. I always am a little careful. In the energy industry, we're all a little bit skittish about California because of some of the disasters that occurred there when they tried to deregulate. So I always pause when I look to California as an example. But that particular provision, I say absolutely keep going.
But Wisconsin cannot set its own mileage standards
right.
because we have no. Talk about carbon free by 2050. Mm-hmm. What is it going to do to your utility bill and mine and the cost of businesses?
Mm. You know what? We've been doing it for years. Wisconsin has the best energy efficiency program in the country. There was a report that just came out a few months ago. The best.
We're number one. Excuse me. Go ahead. And it says what?
Yes. So it's the return on investment. So for every dollar that we spend on energy efficiency measures, we're realizing almost $6 in return.
1-6 ratio.
Yes. Yes, it's incredible. So Focus on Energy has been out there working with businesses and with residences for years. And that is part of the equation too, energy efficiency. So it's not just one faceted. It's not just about building more renewables. It's about becoming more efficient. And we're seeing that. We're seeing that year in and year out. And I think consumers have already recognized the importance of being more efficient.
That was my next question. Have you seen a dramatic growth in the support from Wisconsin residents, from consumers, to mm-hmm. use your term, mm-hmm. in recognizing and dealing with and changing their lifestyle habits?
Yes.
Because of the climate? Some examples.
Absolutely. The Nest thermostat, the Hue light bulbs. Everybody wants the ability to control when they're consuming. Time of use rates where people say, you know what, I'm going to do my laundry and I'm going to run my dishwasher at nighttime when prices are lower and when the generation is more plentiful. So consumers are really leading that effort because they've become extremely conscientious consumers of energy.
Okay, let's fast forward. Let's assume that we can achieve a goal of carbon free by 2050. Mm-hmm. Where do we get our energy percentage-wise? How much from wind? How much from solar? How much from nuclear?
Right. I don't know. I mean, so Wisconsin had a moratorium on nuclear for a number of years.
Should
and
it come
that
off?
Was, well, it was recently lifted.
Thank you.
Yes, I believe it was lifted in 2017. Nuclear plants are incredibly expensive to build.
Not to mention the waste problem.
Right, exactly. But there are so many people. One of the best parts about this job is that I've been able to go around and meet innovators who are working on new technologies, and this consumes their every minute. So they're looking at different ways of fusion and fission and tabletop. They're talking about things like tabletop nuclear. So what is the mix going to be?
What?
I don't know.
Time out. Tabletop nuclear?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
What
just
is that?
Smaller modular units of nuclear energy.
For business? For commercial?
Eventually.
For homes?
Eventually, yes.
Tabletop nuclear?
Yeah.
How far are we away from that?
I don't know. Probably pretty far. I don't know that we'll get there before 2050. But that's the thing, right? So some people say 2050. That's 30 years away. Why are we talking about 2050? Because it's going to take a while to get us there. We need advancements in technology. We need new innovations to come online to get us there because, as I said earlier, it's not going to be just wind and solar. It can't be. We don't have enough land.
But I want to bring you back. Won't it be more expensive to be carbon-free by 2050? Won't homeowners, residential homeowners and businesses have to pay more to achieve this goal, chasing the larger goal?
No, I don't think so at all. Especially
not
if the,
more expensive?
Not if the price of renewable energy continues to drop the way it's dropped. I mean, the fact that it's less expensive to build a utility scale solar than it is to run a coal plant, that's not anything that I ever thought I would witness in my lifetime, let alone in the last decade.
Wisconsin, the PSC is involved in a dialogue on wind and turbines. And what's the status of that major project in western Wisconsin? I should know. Has it been approved tentatively?
The wind?
Yes, wind.
I don't know this one.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. I thought
one?
There was a major proposal.
Solar.
Yes, excuse
solar.
Me. Yes. Thanks for the
Badger
correction.
Badger Hollow. And
thank you.
Yes.
And how far along in the approval process?
They just broke ground. So they received approval from us at the commission, and they just broke ground, I believe it was last month.
Do you anticipate a lot more apps for solar and wind in Wisconsin?
I do. Yes, absolutely.
And will it get public support or not in my backyard?
You know what we're seeing? We're seeing an influx of local municipalities starting to pass ordinances related to siting these facilities. So that's something that we are definitely keeping an eye on. You know, because the developers need to secure local permits from the municipalities where they're wanting to locate, in addition to getting the approval from the commission. So that's something that we're paying very close attention to.
Well, chasing the goal of carbon-free by 2050, what should residential consumers be thinking about? Mm-hmm. How should their habits change? So if you want to help Wisconsin get there, mm-hmm. lifestyle changes in our homes and apartments and
Sure. I mean,
farms?
But I think we're getting there. I think we're already there. I mean, I think it starts with education, and I really do. I think it starts with reaching out to groups like Focus on Energy. How can I be more efficient? It's more than just swapping out your light bulbs. It's paying attention to, okay, when are the coal facilities running? If we can get ourselves to understand the generation mix, and then tie our usage to specific generating types, that's a huge step.
But how can I know whether it's cheaper to do my laundry at 10 p.m. as opposed?
You should talk to your utility. they have, most of them have time of use rates. They have that available, but it's very, it's not commonly known. So I think education, I think understanding what's available to you and talking to your local utility, talking to people from Focus on Energy to find out how you can reduce your carbon footprint. And honestly, the transportation sector, we opened up an informal docket at the commission to study electric vehicles. And what does that mean? Oftentimes, we at the commission don't think about something, or we're not necessarily gathering information about a particular topic unless it's a contested case. And then all sorts of rules apply, the open meeting rules, the ex parte rules. So what we did is we opened up just a generic investigation, and we heard from over 40 parties. We had Tesla weighing in, we had Siemens, and we hosted a symposium where we talked about, okay, what do electric vehicles, what do they do? What does it mean? How are you going to charge the vehicle? How are we going to make inroads? Because currently, only 1.5% of vehicles that are on the road in Wisconsin are electric vehicles.
Okay, but I recently had an opportunity a few days ago to be in Norway, and I learned this. I was told this. 50% of vehicles in Norway are electrical. They're driven by electricity.
Yes.
Do you envision a day in Wisconsin when Wisconsin will approach that?
Yes, I do. I do. So by the year 2030, they are projecting that electric vehicles will be less expensive than gas-powered vehicles, because the cost to manufacture an electric vehicle is dropping. So they're projecting that by 2030, mm-hmm. it will be less expensive. When you look to other countries where the adoption of EV driving is higher than in the U.S., it's largely driven by the price of gasoline. That's what drives. So when you look, what's the cost to charge my car,
yes,
versus what's the cost of a gallon of gas? When the cost of the gallon of gas is more expensive than your kilowatt hour,
yep,
to charge,
yep,
that's when you see that inflection.
In this dialogue to get to carbon 50 by 2050, what do you see as the most exciting development that has the most potential?
Batteries.
Batteries?
Batteries.
On all levels?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Vehicles and everything we carry around?
And to store energy.
Store energy.
Yes, yes. Okay. That, to me, holds the most potential. Because we have to figure out a way to store energy for when it's needed. And until we get that advancement, until we can get batteries to the scale that we need them, it's going to be tough to get to zero carbon.
Is there a different dialogue here in Wisconsin's urban areas versus the rural areas in terms of how we get to carbon mm-hmm. free by 2050? Mm-hmm.
I think so, yes, absolutely. So when you're
more
looking...
More burdens in the rural areas? Excuse me, I interrupted you.
No, I wouldn't say more burdens. I would say in the rural areas, you're going to be looking to personal choices, right? So you're going to be looking at what kind of vehicle do you drive? How are you operating, for instance, your farm? That's a different set of questions that you're asking yourself than in an urban area, where urban area you're saying, oh, what about the mass transit?
Mass transit.
Right.
Not available in rural areas.
Right. Exactly.
Are we going to have electric driven tractors in rural areas?
We're starting to. Precision agriculture is booming. So now there are farm machines that are capable of driving themselves, and the measurement of what type of crop is being planted, what type of fertilizer is being used, all of that is done on a computer program, which is why it's so important that we have broadband access in the rural areas because of the rise of precision agriculture.
Let's go back to the governor putting carbon free by 2050 in the budget, the Republican legislators not considering it.
Mm-hmm.
So what realistically can be achieved with an executive order as opposed to a statute, which the governor sought mm-hmm. in February?
Well, the one thing I will say is that the EO sends a clear message to businesses, to electric providers, that we are headed in the same direction, that we are with them, that we support the route to carbon free. All of the big investor-owned utilities in Wisconsin, they released carbon free goals years ago.
far ahead of our 10%.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. So they've already been out there. They've already been out there with their own corporate goals.
Trump administration, friend or foe of states wanting to get to carbon free by 2050?
We've lacked a national energy policy, and the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission has been, you know, it's been sort of a revolving door. So I don't really think about what's happening on the national scale. I'm too focused on what's happening in Wisconsin.
But when they do something like approve Keystone, doesn't that have an impact?
Well,
in Wisconsin?
Sure. I mean, right. And when you're campaigning and trying to prop up the coal industry, that certainly flies in the face of the economics that we're seeing in Wisconsin, where it's actually more expensive to operate coal. So it's something that is just a minor blip.
But carbon free by 2050 is not going to significantly raise my electric and natural gas rates significantly?
Not if the renewable energy prices continue where they are. No. Mm-mm.
What's the biggest impediment to getting to carbon free by 2050?
Storage.
Explain.
Absolutely. Because we've got to figure out a way to store up that energy from when the really windy days to be able
generated.
To use it. Yes. To be able to use it when it's not windy.
Okay. You can't talk about the Hickory Line, which was approved because it's contested.
Right.
But it was approved by appointees of both R and D administration. Mm-hmm. So my question is, mm-hmm. is PSC truly a nonpartisan agency?
I think so. Absolutely. I mean, I think if you look at our decisions that we've released since I've been there, the majority of them are 3-0. I honestly, and I've felt this way my entire career, I honestly see energy policy as completely independent. I think when people make assumptions based on political affiliations and what the decision is going to be related to energy,
right.
I think that people make mistakes. Because we're a quasi-judicial agency, so we are given a boatload of facts and a record. Whether it's a high-profile transmission line or a new tariff offering or anything in between, we are given information and we read through that information and we balance all of the information in front of us to arrive at a decision.
Well, maybe final question. And you've touched on it earlier, but I want to ask it again. What's at stake in this debate for your kids, my grandchildren? What's at stake in this debate over carbon-free by 2050? What's the downside?
The downside is that we're going to, I mean, so let's take a step back, and if the rising sea levels where the coastal states are going to eventually be washed away.
Miami is, yes.
Right.
At risk.
Right.
New Orleans is at risk. Excuse me.
Yes.
This is your answer.
Absolutely.
I should let you give it.
Absolutely. But no, you're exactly right. So not only are we literally going to see our country shrink, but we're going to see all of the species that inhabit the country, they're going to continue to become extinct as well. And I don't know. What's going to be left? What's going to be left? We have one Earth. We need to take care of it.
That recent article nationally in the New York called it uninhabitable potential. Anyway.
Yeah, right.
PSC Chair Rebecca Cameron Volk, thank you so much for
Absolutely. Visiting
Wisconsin I. What an important issue and what an important dialogue.
It is.
Thanks
yes.
for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
It was great.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civics broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol. Wisconsin Eye would not exist without generous donors like you. Please visit wisi.org to make a donation today.